So this is just some video footage of John Paul II and Mother Teresa.
God bless you, my mother.
So now this is one that I went to some trouble with. It's not a good translation of for the subtitles, but this is a fantastic piece of footage. And it came from a person who recorded it on his TV in Poland. And these are some critical times during before the wall fell, of course, and before the complete change of the Soviet Union, etc. But so let me just read you what I wrote. This comes from a person in Poland who recorded some things that were only shown once, and he had a VCR to record what he wanted. So I say where it came from, to give attribution to the person who recorded this. He says, I downloaded, that was me. I downloaded his video and added English subtitles. The original title is, translates as if it were yesterday. A fragment of the documentary film of a great documentary filmmaker, Mrs. Alina Czerniakowska, which was shown by Polish TV once, only once. Fortunately, my VCR was always in the ready-to-record position, which is why I have materials that few have. Fragments of the film selected and edited by me. The entire original film lasts about an hour. And then I just say the subtitles are from an automated online translator. They cost about $5 or $6 a minute to have them translated into from Polish into English. So we'll see some mistakes there. But I was so interested in this video before, but I just wanted to know what he was saying. So this is what we've got, and it's quite amazing. So this first one, he's saying goodbye after being there in his first after his first trip, in after being Pope. And it was very emotional and very powerful visit.
Żegnam Polskę. Żegnam moją ojczyznę. Wszelkiego dobra, wszelkiej pomyślności, realizacji wszystkich szlachetnych planów i słusznych zamierzeń w każdej dziedzinie życia, na odchodnym całuję tę ziemię, z którą nigdy nie może się rozstać moje serce. Niech was błogosławi Bóg Wszechmogący, Ojciec i Syn i Duch Święty.
This is Cardinal Wyszyński here on the right there, and this is the Pope on the left, as you can see. And they had a wonderful relationship, and really he was his mentor or guru, I've talked about before. And he's visiting now, the first time as Pope or one of the second, first or second time. And so normally Wyszynski is the primate of Poland. He's the chief person in Poland, the highest. There's more than one cardinal. He's the highest cardinal of them all. And he's so well thought of because of what he did in World War II and during the Soviet time too. So this is just a little bit of, and also Kate and I saw this balcony. This is the Archbishop's palace or building that he lived in, residence in Krakow, where John Paul was stationed. I think this is where this is. Now, he does things like this in Warsaw too. But anyway, we saw the place where he would do these, talk with people off this balcony. And people would stay there for hours before and hours afterwards. And he stayed several times. He stayed for hours talking to people and singing. And I think, you know, he realized this was a great change that was going to happen in Poland. So much was put on it, and he pulled it off. He carried it through. Now, Wyszynski said that before he died, that John Paul II would take the church into the next millennium. And of course, he passed in 2004 or 5. And he predicted that he would be a great pope and convinced him to take when it was offered to him, to accept it.
I ten dowód raz jeszcze się potwierdził. Jako ostatnia deska ratunku, czy rzeczywiście nadal będą mnie słuchać, czy już nie, proponuję, zaśpiewajmy. Góralu! Lasowika i ty go lepszy.
Zapadły mi w pamięć słowa, które przypominam sobie w trudnych chwilach. Człowiek młody musi być silniejszy od warunków. Musi się przez te warunki przebić siłą przebicia nie jako talent kombinowania, ale jako siła tkwiąca w człowieku i wynikająca z jego wartości, wobec której wszyscy muszą zamilknąć. I wtedy pomyślałam sobie, że taki jest ten nasz papież. Ma taką siłę wewnętrzną, wobec której wszyscy muszą zamilknąć. Bo Chrystus, dzięki Bogu, stawia wymagania. Kiedy byłem młody, tak jak wy, Chrystus postawił mi wymagania i przekonał mnie. Chrystus daje nam od wewnątrz najpotężniejszy środek tej siły przebicia, która tak bardzo potrzebna jest, by się przedwcześnie nie wycofać, nie załamać, nie zagubić perspektywy. W imię Chrystusa życzę wam odwagi.
Czyż Chrystus tego nie chce? Czy Duch Święty tego nie rozrządza? Ażeby ten papież Polak, papież Słowianin, właśnie teraz odsłonił duchową jedność chrześcijańskiej Europy. Papież Jan Paweł II, Słowianin, Syn narodu polskiego, czuję, jak głęboko wrastają w glebę historii korzenie, z których on sam razem z wami wyrasta.
Dzisiaj przypomnieć fragmenty z ostatniej wizyty w 1991 roku, gdy Polska miała, wydawałoby się, to, o co walczyła. Witał papieża Polaka solidarnościowy prezydent, rząd, III Rzeczpospolita. Papież rodak, wasz rodak, zawsze to podkreślał. Wtedy ten papież mówił z ogromną troską, zdenerwowaniem, jakby przewidywał ciąg dalszy tej naszej III Rzeczypospolitej.
Chciałbym tu zapytać tych wszystkich, którzy za tę moralność małżeńską, rodzinną mają odpowiedzialność, tych wszystkich, czy wolno im lekkomyślnie narażać polskie rodziny na dalsze zniszczenie? Nie można tutaj mówić o wolności człowieka, bo to jest wolność, która zniewala. Nie można stwarzać fikcji wolności, która rzekomo człowieka wyzwala, a właściwie go zniewala i znieprawia. Z tego trzeba zrobić rachunek sumienia u progu III Rzeczypospolitej. Może dlatego mówię tak, jak mówię, ponieważ to jest moja matka, ta ziemia. To jest moja matka, ta ojczyzna. To są moi bracia i siostry. I zrozumcie wy wszyscy, którzy lekkomyślnie podchodzicie do tych spraw. zrozumcie, że te sprawy nie mogą mnie nie obchodzić, nie mogą mnie nie boleć. Was też powinny boleć.
Dziękujemy Ci, Boże, za to, że jesteśmy Polakami. Świadomi jednak grzechów i wad naszych, prosimy Cię, daj nam uprzątnąć dom ojczysty. Wyzwól nas od zniewoleń ducha. I tak jak cudownie przeprowadziłeś nas suchą nogą przez Morze Czerwone, naucz nas być wolnymi.
You know, Mother went out of her way to meet Mother Teresa. And Master went out of his way to meet Teresa Newman. And we know now Padre Pio traveled to the Holy Land so as being his birthday. I think it's correct to pay tribute to him every now and then, what he was put up against, what the Polish people were put up, and he was immersed in himself. God gave him the opportunity and the command, responsibility, to stand up against the forces arrayed against the people in Poland and in the Eastern Balkans and the Soviet Union. And he did it in such a way that it was as Pope, and that's a different position to do it from than would have been guessed as a savior, and many other forces were involved in that. But he was key. He felt it keenly that it should be free, but they all didn't know that they would ever live to see it, of course. No one did. You can see in that first clip, when he's leaving Poland, you could see the responsibility that weighed on him. And the challenge was really set before him. And then in 91, he comes back. And he's very moved at that time also, seeing what has God wrought, what has God done. So a little history about him. This would be his hunt. Tomorrow will be his 103rd birthday. He was born in 1920, May 18th, in a town called Wadowice, which Kate and I visited. And lost his mother early on, I believe, under 10 or so. And lost his brother also, as he was close to. So he and his father lived in Wadowice near the church. It's a beautiful church. They've really done a magnificent job with it. Of course, it's a pilgrimage site for all Catholics because of him. And then went to Krakow for school. And this was just before the war. Now, of course, he was 19. In 1939, when Poland was invaded. So I believe he went there before that period. And that's probably 1938 or so. Don't know for sure. I should know that. But at any rate, he and his father both moved there to help him through school. I don't remember what his father did, but he was a laborer of some sort. And then the war started. And the horrors of that in Poland, because they were the first first of all, their very first country to be invaded in the formal part of the war, even though Austria and the Czech Republic, the Czechoslovakia was invaded in different fashions. It was the tripwire. Poland was the tripwire that got France and Britain into the war. They were committed from previous promises, previous treaties. And that was the red line that they felt they couldn't let Hitler go beyond. And so once he invaded, they declared war on the 2 days later. And Poland took the brunt of that. 2 weeks later, the Soviets invaded from the east. Claiming their lands, the lands formerly owned by the Russians, and then on the western side, the land formerly owned by the Germans. And then they continued to close the noose and take over all of Poland. During that time, he was a seminary student. He decided to become a priest. And it had to be done in secret. It wasn't allowed. And he was a laborer. He worked in a quarry with banging rocks or physical labor and studying at night. He was, before that though, and maybe during the same time, an actor, was in school. He had lots of friends. I saw a video about him, with a woman who's still living, at least around the time he passed away, and they were doing a retrospective on him, and she said, yes, I even danced with him. So you see a priest, most priests of, in those days especially, were decided to become priests very young. So they never had that that opportunity to mix with the other sex. So it's an interesting life that he led. He's an actor, and he felt the call to the priesthood right in the middle of the war. He was a leader even then, though. He was looked up to by everyone. Everyone admired him greatly. He had a close friend who was Jewish, and he lost touch with him, of course. But he, the Jewish man lived and became, there's a book written I can't remember what it is, but he wrote a book about his time with the Pope and I believe is what it's called. And he was the first Pope to go to the synagogue in Rome, to visit the synagogue. And I'm pretty sure he's the first one to go to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. But he was a person deeply connected to the Polish people and the, what they had gone through. He had tremendous understanding and sympathy and empathy with them for what they've been through. And he went through it himself. Now, Wyszynski, Cardinal Wyszynski was called the primate. Now, that's a special title. It's an old title that's given to certain cardinals. And Wyszynski became knew about Karol Wojtyla, as he his name at the time. And they were friends. And in fact, then he became a mentor and guided him. Wyszynski did. Now, he was another great saint. And in fact, he's been, I think he may have been made a saint, but he's been beatified. I know he's in the process of becoming, of being named a saint. The Polish people worship him. So it was a split on that balcony when we saw the video. There was a, not a split loyalty, but there was, they all loved both those men very much. But Wyszynski he really put his life on the line during the war and during the Soviet time there. Communist time, was in prison. So I've got one other little video to show on that, and I'll continue just a little more discussion. Here's some pictures of him. What did I do with it? Oh, here it is. So this is John Paul II. I've sent this out. Some of you have seen this before. After he's been made Pope, the cardinals all swear allegiance to him, like knights and noblemen to a king. So he's usually seated, but when he sees Cardinal Wyszynski come up to bow at his feet, he stands up and won't let him be below him. He lifts him up. Watch this. It's quite beautiful. This is some of the most amazing footage, and everyone remarks about it. So this is well known that this was a remarkable difference, because he ends up kissing the hand of the cardinal. Their story together is one of the more remarkable stories on the spiritual world in the battle that was done in Poland. It's one of the great ones. So in 1947 or 48, he became a priest. He was seen as so capable. He was loved by so many people, even as immediately during the war, as well as he was a seminary student. And he had a tremendous following in Krakow. That's where he spent his time. The main seat is in Warsaw, and I think that's the capital too, isn't it? But it's the seat where Wyszynski was at, who was the primate. And so Pope John Paul II, when he was cardinal, was in Krakow. So 48, he's a priest. 58, he's a bishop. 68, he's a cardinal by Pope Paul VI. Amazing rise. So when he became pope, he was a young pope, because they were often most of them didn't live that many years as pope, because it's a very, very senior position. And so in 78, he was pope. Just one 10-year step after another. He really affected the youth in the Catholic Church.
I was thinking that, like all great saints, it was his presence, wasn't it, Larry?
Yeah. You know, the videos that we've watched show that so clearly. Kate and I watched quite a few. There's one we, for some reason, it won't show on the screen. I can't play it at the same time on Zoom. It's because of copyright protection of some sort. A movie. And it's not available on DVD, so we can't show it. But yeah, his presence was obviously great. Huge, huge effect on people.
And what a massive, massive crowd.
Yeah, everywhere he went.
Unbelievable. Wow.
Yeah. He connected the Orthodox Church too. He gave, I'm not sure exactly when it happened, but I believe it may have been him too, the Episcopal Church, the Anglican Church in England, Episcopal in America. They allow their priests to be accepted as priests in the Catholic Church. And so some of them have come over, even married Episcopal priests have come over into the Catholic Church. So...
Larry, I'm wondering if I can tell my story about the Pope.
Of course.
About my initial darshan of the Pope.
Yes.
So being raised a Protestant, I didn't pay a lot of attention to who was Pope. I knew about Pope John Paul because of his work in bringing down the wall and in freeing the Polish people from the Soviet domination. So I knew about him for that and respected him, and I knew Mother respected him. But I didn't know the extent at all. Well, it's funny because I spoke during Peter's workshop about my time as a temp receptionist. And this particular day, I was being a temp receptionist. But at the same time, I had stopped being in my theater mode for a few years. But one of my former students had asked me to just be in a staged reading. All I had to do was go to one rehearsal and read the script. Well, the play was kind of an old 1960s play, and I always thought it was a little silly. But it was, I just had to do the one rehearsal and go into the performance that night. And so I thought, fine. Now, I was playing a ditzy nun who was very excited that the Pope was coming to town, and I was behaving like somebody, like a young girl for a rock star. And I thought this was pretty silly and everything. But it was fine. So I was going to be doing that performance that night. Well, that day, Pope John Paul left the body. He died. And I started having this very bad feeling of going to do that play that night where I'm playing that nun, and it's obviously kind of making fun of the church in a way. I still don't even remember what the point of this nun was in the story. But anyways, I was feeling like I shouldn't go and do that. That it was somehow sacrilegious for Pope John Paul on the day that he died. And so I had about an hour in this reception job where I had nothing to do. So I closed my eyes and I just focused on the Pope and I focused on God and I meditated for quite some time. And I felt this tremendous upliftment, just tremendous. And I felt his presence and I felt how wonderful he was. And I had no idea. And then I got the idea that I wouldn't let my young friend down. I would go and do the play, but I would ask her to, before the show, to say that the Pope had died and this play is meant of no disrespect to him or anything else. And she agreed to do that. She did a really lovely job. But what I got out of the whole thing, I remember afterwards saying to Larry and David, the Pope is a saint. He's a saint. Because nobody, when you concentrate on another soul like that, he had to have been a saint to have uplifted me in that way. And that's when I knew who he really was. So, but isn't it interesting? He, as an actor, said, you go ahead. Go ahead and do your role. I'm not going to take any offense by it. It's just harmless. So that's my story about my first darshan, my darshan, the only darshan, except being at his sites with the Pope. We certainly did have his darshan at various sites, too, because we got a very strong feeling of him, particularly at his birthplace, I think.
Yeah, that's lovely. And he gave an opportunity to reach out and give some respect to the audience members, to show some respect for them. Well, these saints actually live in our time. They look different in each time, and they're cast differently sometimes too. You know, the way that we think of Saint Paul, Saint Francis, probably aren't very accurate to the way they really were as people. What's remarkable about the modern day of, with video and cameras, is how much there you can't hide from so many things. But you also get a feeling for people's personality with video, especially, and audio, both. So I think he was really put through a grinder, and he really was showed that what it takes of a crucifixion to go through. One final thing, and I've told it before, but it's worth saying. The when John Paul II was shot in 81 or so, at that time, Cardinal Wyszynski was quite ill, and people were praying, all over Poland were praying for him. And when that happened, he said to the people in Poland, "Do not pray for me anymore. Send all of your prayers to the Pope. Pray for him." And then people said afterwards that he said he was giving his life for the Pope. And he died shortly after that. It's a noble sacrifice. God needed both those people. One elder one, the mentor, person who brought him up, to notice, and then paid every price, even to the death. You know, the thing that I read today on the gospel, or from St. Paul Corinthians, it says that you shouldn't know what you have from me. And Paul even says, "I didn't baptize, and I'm glad that I didn't baptize any of you. I only baptized two people, maybe a third, because I came to preach Christ crucified." And the idea of the spiritual, and that word spiritual too, is interesting. Some of the religious sects think it's a cop-out to call things spiritual and not religious, and I understand what they're worried about. But it is in the Bible, at least a translation that was done in, you know, King James time. So these feelings that we have around saints and around spiritual things, this is the realm of spirit. And Paul says people who don't have it can't be expected to have it. It is a mystery, mysterious world that we are lucky enough to have an insight into. But it makes us seem like children to them, naive children, and that's part of the sacrifice we must take on our ego. So God's had me thinking a lot about babies and coming into this world and being aware that some children are coming back very quickly from a lifetime. So all of those things folded into it. And when you see how babies are react, here's a person who was a full adult, maybe just a few years or maybe a few decades and maybe centuries, but they've been here before and they know this world. But they act like a little whimpering, you know, bundle of emotions. It's such an interesting transition as you take a person, a child, and look how long the time it takes for a person to grow, a fully grown human, is, you know, really 13 to 14 before you fully have all of the chakras engaged. And they say that the brain's not fully formed until you're 25. So it takes a long time to take that person. And with all the other background and memories and innate memories to come into this world. Now, this notion of spiritual world, the mystery world, mysterious world, this is what we've always said about babies, is they bring something of that with them when they come. They bring something of the astral, deeper understanding of the astral world with them when they come. That's why they're so sweet and so guileless. And it gives us a feeling for what that world is like in that plane. But the spiritual world that we inhabit, that we get to know as we grow in the spirit and as we move in circles with people who support this and understand it, we revert to that lower ego state, that pride of knowledge. We lose that love of that and that insistence that that's of prime importance. It is important in this lifetime, and we're rightfully engaged in all of these things. But to see ourselves as a little baby with all of our wisdom now, to see ourselves, well, how were you? What were you like? You think you're something else. But what were you like when you were a baby? Were you crying for your mother? Of course you were. This world is so difficult, and not impossible. I don't mean to say that, but it is difficult. And it is something that we have a right to have a mother to bring us through it, to greet us when we enter this plane. And we have a right to our father and grandparents and aunts and uncles and all the society that is part of, is around your upbringing. We have a right to be feeling safe. Those are real rights and necessary to make the best of this plane. We come here to do some small thing, but it's a focused thing, and it's a very important thing. And it's got to do with something that we need to work through, but it's also something that we want to work through, that we want to experience. We want to come out on top of this. Whatever task is laid before us, we really desire to come out on top of it, to perform it well. Puts you in a better position each lifetime, each success. And God tears us down completely sometimes, some lifetimes, to rebuild on better, firmer soil. I don't know what it is about John Paul II, but it does. He so intrigues me as a person. It's a person, it's the kind of thing you'd like to have met him, to know him, wouldn't you? You'd want to be with him. This is the mark of a saint as well. I mean, I know that people feel that way about the Beatles and that kind of thing too, but that's, you know, perhaps, Kate, your play that you're dealing with is a lot to do with the idea that viewed from the outside, they look like, you know, people who love the Pope just look like Beatles fans or Elvis Presley fans. There is, you know, some truth to it. And if they don't see the Spirit of God supporting him and guiding him and being really what is going on, that's what's really going on. Everything else of a different sort is faux. It's not fraudulent so much as it is a striking a pose, posturing, striking a pose. And it can fool you. So we always think in terms of, wouldn't it be great to be rich and powerful and popular and a celebrity and all that. And the actual reality of it is, has its own very, very difficult and intense and sharply intense experiences around it. And becoming balanced in that realm is obviously, evidently, very difficult. We should admire the different people who have done well with their own psyche, their own ability to recognize and operate with people at all levels. I know the Beatles, they just didn't understand it. They couldn't put their finger on it. They'd seen it perhaps with Elvis Presley, but it's funny to hear them interviewed. They really just didn't get it. What is all the screaming? We can't even play our music. It's so loud. And they had come for music. So at least they had that enough integrity to eventually quit, and not feed that crazy frenzy.
Can I tell a Pope John Paul
story? Oh, please, please do. Anybody else do, please.
I don't remember the year, but I believe it was like 79. I was still in high school.
And he had just become Pope. Yeah.
It was either 78 or 79.
Right.
And he came to Chicago. And my dad and I, with a combination of bike riding and I think we rode our bikes to Grant Park. And I slept through the Mass. But then after the Mass, we were quite far back, so it was hard to hear. But then after the Mass, we went down to where he was coming down the street in his Pope Mobile.
Right. Wow.
And just a little context. So, I was raised Catholic, but not raised to be reverent of the Pope. My mother was, she thought women should be priests, and she didn't believe all, she believed in birth control because she was advised by her doctor, that she could die if she had more kids.
Right.
But also, yeah, so a lot of different, kind of an irreverent 70s Catholic family. But, this was something that I could do with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were, pretty close to where, Rennie came right down the street. And so I didn't expect to feel anything. It was just kind of I was doing it, because my dad wanted to do this. But as he came down the street, there was just like this wave of love, like this palpable feeling.
Yeah. Wow.
As he came down the street that I experienced. And, being in a crowd of people in Chicago, I've been in other crowds. And it never felt like that.
Yeah.
And I was just like, whoa. Here I am, just a teenager, going, wow.
This is real.
This is real. Yeah.
Exactly.
And then, after that, we went to a Pope party at one of my dad's former students and, nearby. But that was the palpable feeling.
Yeah.
Which I completely didn't expect. And I'll never forget that.
I bet. Yeah, that's a not lovely story. No kidding.
And just everyone in the crowd was very kind. They were letting me go towards the front because I was small. And yeah, it wasn't
crowd. What you're feeling is the crowd's psychic energy too. It's very uplifting. And when it has a spiritual component to it, the expectation is very, very great. And so, yeah, of course. And the crowd is all softened and supportive of everything. Yeah, it's wonderful to be in those kind of crowds. I like crowds myself at fairs and places where everyone's on their best behavior, and it's very nice. I like it a lot.
I don't usually like crowds, but that crowd was different.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, my sister and brother-in-law live in Sweden. I've told this story before, but they got a chance to see the Dalai Lama at some thing in Sweden. And so they decided to go. I'm not sure how they got talked into it. And they are basically both very much strong atheists. And always have been, you know. And this happened maybe 10 years ago. So they've been married for quite a few years and had established all their beliefs. And they were deeply affected by him. And the next time we saw them at a family reunion, they sat us, me and Kate, down and just peppered us with questions about the spiritual path. What do we know about Buddhism? But also, what about Hinduism? What is the religious, what happens with monks? And then also the more esoteric things, what happens with reincarnation and how do you come back and all of those things. So that was a big breakthrough for them. I don't think it's changed their lives dramatically, but I think it's made them, given them wisdom. Now, Gunnar, my sister's husband, he also has read the Bible with his children. So he has a very beautiful mind. He's a doctor, a professor in medicine. And he has just this really, he could have done anything. He's super brilliant. He's basically a polymath. But he wanted to teach the kids. Now, we would have discussions about some of these things because they were clearly not understanding it. So exactly, you know, they made fun of every little stupid. If you compare the modern sensibilities to what Moses was doing, it's pretty hard to understand them. And so they tend to make fun of things. But they did go through it, and they're now educated on it, on the details of the Bible. And so they can talk intelligently about it. His kids are two, a boy and a girl. They're quite interesting personalities, too. Well, it's funny. I can just feel Pope John Paul this evening so strongly. Because we all are. We're cluing into the love all that exists right now on this earth for him. There's so many, many, many millions of people love that man and love what God did through him. He loved that whole experience. And what a, you know, he's just a beautiful looking man. Doesn't hurt, does it? They say St. Francis wasn't all that good looking. But I'd have some, see if I can find that. So, whatever it means. So, it's worth thinking about. Oh, let's see if we can. There we go. Yeah. It looks like someone you can trust. And this is Pope John Paul II consecrating him as a cardinal. This is Pope John Paul I. Evidently, he loved and respected greatly. That's why he chose the name he did. And, actually, Michelle, he wasn't in the Popemobile until after he was shot. So you probably saw him in something dressed different, maybe like this or different anyway, where he was more open. The Popemobile was the one where his glass enclosed after being shot.
Yeah, he was very open. It was before he was shot. Because I was still in high school. So, it wasn't, I call it the Popemobile, but it wasn't this.
It was a vehicle that probably set for him, yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Much more exposed.
Yeah, very exposed. I was devastated when he got shot.
Yeah, that was something, wasn't it? There was so much hope in him. He seemed to be the right man. And he had difficult things to deal with. Things weren't everything perfect and straightened out in the Catholic Church, but he did bring new strength to it. Anyway, I love this picture. Kate, nice.
Remember, Larry, the lovely scene in that one show we saw where he goes almost immediately to, once he's well enough, to visit the man who shot him.
Yeah, that's right.
And talk to him, and the man asked his forgiveness, and he was a little man who was somehow kind of pressured to do it, I think.
That's right. Yeah.
But he became quite changed after the Pope was
done. Yeah. Yeah, so, well, it's what we're asked to do, but my gosh, and so we could say that he just did it because he was supposed to do it. John Paul wasn't like that. He was sincere. Nice things to think about. Miracles in our own lives. We've seen miracles. So let's close for tonight. I hope you don't mind, Kate, and my insistence on bringing Pope John Paul II up so much, but it won't be forever.
We love St. Paul.
Yes, of course. I think some of the people who don't have a Catholic background might look askance at us. I'm sure they have every right to. But there's so many Catholics here, it doesn't matter. Anyway, please pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, Divine Mother,
I feel the wonder and the beauty
of Thy glorious presence.
Of Thy glorious presence
in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee.
My heart is bursting.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
And surrender myself to Thee.
Surrender myself.
I feel the power of Thy perfection. Surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence are radiant with Thy healing light.
Radiant.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss. Of my communion with Thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I me. Play a little music. Another version of Salve Regina.